Welcome to A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. In our program today, we have our second lesson on the subject of sin and its consequences. We've closed our first lesson pointing out how some sin out of ignorance, some sin out of weakness, but another classification of sin is, believe it or not, some sin out of outright rebellion against God. Now, the Bible teaches how that some have sinned due to rebellion against God. Hebrews chapter 10 warns people that they can sin willfully and deliberately and intentionally. Now, Christ died so that people even who sin willfully could be saved. But there are some who deliberately testify against him, and they testified falsely. It wasn't an accident. They did it deliberately. They knew what they were doing. And when you consider such people as Cain and Saul, the first king of Israel, and Judas, why, friend, they held God's will in contempt, and they despised his law. We're warned that there are those who can sin, and they are due a sore punishment. And people are due a sore punishment when we refuse to accept our Savior and accept him on his terms. Well, we might say people sin because of love. Love of what? Well, one, love of the world. One reason is because people love the world, and the word world is not always used with the same meaning. We read that God so loved the world, that's the people of the world. But when John wrote in 1 John 2:15, love not the world, neither the things are in the world, he was talking about the sinful things of the world. He said, if a man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Some people just love sin and what they're doing to such an extent they rebel against God and go ahead and do it. And people love material things, don't they? Material things of this world. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, Paul wrote, but godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into this world, and it certainly we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish hurt and hurtful lusts, which drown men in perdition. Notice, for the love of money is the root of all evil. Now, it's not money that's the root of all evil. It's the love of money that's the root of all evil. Paul said, which some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Yes, people sin because of love of the world, love of the material things of the world, and love of the pleasure that's in this world. We read how that Moses did not choose the pleasures of sin for a season, but he decided to follow the will of God. Unrighteousness does sometimes temporarily bring worldly pleasure, but that's for something we have to consider. There is still more beyond this life, and people have such a love for the pleasures that they have in this world, they'll seek those pleasures even though it violates the will of God. Well, people sin also because of the lack of love for God. Yes, people sometimes sin because what they don't have. You know, when one loves God, he'll keep his commandments. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. John said, for this is the love of God, that you keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous, 1 John 5:3. People who lack respect for God, as Paul described, the Jews and Gentiles in Romans chapter 3, oh, they don't have any concern about sinning. They probably never even crosses their mind. You know, when Solomon was closing the book of Ecclesiastes, he noted in the 12th chapter, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Well, a lack of love, a lack of respect for God, it will allow a person to violate the will of God with indifference, but possibly some sin thinking they're going to get away with it. And that's because sometimes sin is not immediately punished, at least not every time. Sin was often immediately punished in Bible times. We read about how Ananias and Sapphira were struck dead. But we violate natural law, why we are speedily punished. For instance, if you fall from a ladder, you're punished for it immediately. You violate the law of gravity. You place your hand on a hot stove, you're punished immediately. But Solomon wrote, "Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil." Friend, when evil is not punished and punished quickly, crimes will persist all the more. And is this not an explanation for the continued havoc that we see in our society? It's my opinion that one of the grave faults of our so-called justice system today is that people can do the worst sort of things, and there'll be years and years and years and years that will pass before anything that is really done about it. And then because of that, people don't fear doing it. People begin to think they're going to get away with doing evil, and therefore continue to commit evil. Now, while there may be hardship befalls the transgressor even in this life, the full wages of sin will not be meted out until the final judgment. Moses told some of his Israelite brethren, if they did not do what they had promised and vowed that they would do, he said, "Be sure your sins will find you out." Numbers 32 and verse 23. Friend, instead of thinking we're ever going to get away with anything, because we're not immediately punished for it, let us rightly consider the fact that there's offered unto us thereby a time to repent, and we can be spared, and we can correct our error. It's not because of immediate punishment that we're going to get away with it. And what are the consequences of sin? Well, let's look at Proverbs 14:34 for a moment. It says, "Righteousness exalteth a nation. Sin is a reproach to any people." Yes, sin is a deadly thing to any nation. A nation that persists in sin and ignores sin and heaps upon itself sinful things, even that nation will perish. Even God's chosen nation, the nation of Israel, when they turned from God, they were eventually carried away into captivity. Northern Israel was carried away and never was returned as a nation. Southern Judah was carried away, was in captivity for 70 years, and eventually were liquidated as a nation because of their own sins. Their promise to hold on to their promised land of Palestine was that they be faithful to God, but they violated that, and that promise is no longer theirs. And the same thing is true of other nations of which we read in the Bible, like Babylon, Edom, Philistia, Phoenicia, some of the others. I don't know why we cannot in our own age learn from what has happened. These things were written for our learning. Those nations defied God. If we defy God, do we think we're going to be the first nation to get away with it? You know, Adam and Eve sinned and brought sin into the world. They brought suffering. They brought death. And they were driven from the Garden of Eden and from the paradise. The enormity of their sin vibrates through the world even yet. And I think about Saul, the first king of Israel. Oh, he started out in such a wonderful way. But he disobeyed God by not following God's commandments. For instance, one commandment about the Amalekites. He was told to go and destroy the Amalekites. That was a nation that was incorrigible. That was a nation steeped in idolatry, a nation that was indeed vicious and wicked, and they were justified in being destroyed. Well, Saul didn't carry out God's commandments. He spared the king and a lot of their herds and flocks. Well, he lost his kingdom, and he died, hated by his own nation, and a suicide with his own sword. Yes, friend, sin pays, but what does it pay? Paul says in Romans 6:33, the wages of sin is death. Now, this has reference to spiritual death. That means an eternal separation from God. And we read in the Bible of the descriptions of that punishment. We read in the Bible of the judgment scene of the condemnation of those who sin but never come to Christ for forgiveness. We read in the Bible of the eternal punishment of those who know not God and obey not the gospel, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Friend, we need to be impressed about the wages of sin. But thanks be to God, there is salvation from sin. Now this is the salvation that's in Christ, 2 Timothy 2 and verse 10. And we can become children of God by faith, repentance, confession of that faith in Christ, and baptism into Christ. And it is at that baptism that God washes away our past sins by the blood of our Savior, Romans chapter 6, verse 3 and 4. If we will come to Christ, if we will live faithfully in Christ, we have the assurance from God that sin will not be our spiritual destruction. Being faithful, of course, involves working for the Master, living like the Master. And that means worshiping according to the authority of the Master. And to keep ourselves unspotted from the world, doing that which we ought, abstaining and opposing what we ought not, and know what the Lord hates, and learn to hate what the Lord hates, and learn to love what the Lord loves. In this way, friend, and I suggest only in this way, can we avoid sin and its consequences. Being saved is not a complicated matter, but it is something that must be done by conviction. It has to be done by a deliberate choice. It is to be done while there's time and opportunity. Now is the day of salvation, the Apostle Paul pled. Otherwise, the wages of sin, friend, they're still there. And you know, if you don't believe it now, most assuredly you will be convinced later on, at that time when the Lord Jesus comes again, and there's the resurrection of all, and we stand before God in judgment, will we hear the words, "Well done, good and faithful servant," or will we hear the words, "Depart from me, I never knew you"? Sin unforgiven means that there will be those who will hear those words, "Depart from me." But though we all sin, and Paul says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, thanks be to God due to the salvation provided by God through Jesus Christ. And we can hear the words, "Well done, good and faithful servant." That should be the goal of the life of us all. Well, we thank you for listening to our program. This is A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.